In Jesus' name, we love you. I thank you for the treasure of your word, your scripture. I thank you, Holy Spirit. We invite you just to lead us and guide us into all truth. Guide us through your scripture, Lord God. That it would be revelation into our lives, transforming us, and give us the ability to explain things to people with questions. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so our key text today, we're going to be really like studying in depth Hebrews chapter 8 and 9, mostly 9. So if you kind of want to earmark that in your Bible, it's one of those chapters that you're like, wow, that's pretty heavy. And, you know, sometimes we're tempted to skim read it, you know, when there's a lot of details in there. And I was just doing a lot of study, and I got really excited when the Lord just kind of opened up those details. So here's my question to you. Everyone loves an upgrade, right? Raise your hand if you like a good upgrade. Let's just say you booked your family vacation, and let me tell you, think about like a child, because we're supposed to come to Jesus like a child. What if you booked your family vacation, and all you could afford was the parking lot view in the hotel? Come on, come on. And you're like, that's all we can afford, and we're just really excited about it, but you get there to check in, right? Come on. You go to check in, and they go, you know what? Your kids are so cute. We just kind of like you. I don't know, you're customer number 50 that went through the back door. We are going to upgrade you to the penthouse suite with the ocean view for your entire family vacation. And all the kids go, yeah! And listen, as a parent, I'd be like, yeah! Okay, come on, right? We like a good upgrade. All right, so I was trying to find things that we get excited about. All right, let's just say you have a red-eye flight. Anybody do a red-eye flight? And let's say you're, like, tall, like Lane or my husband. Like, the worst thing is when you're in, like, the middle section, right? When you have even taller and bigger people on either side, right? And it's a red-eye overnight, and all of a sudden the kind stewardess just goes, excuse me, sir, I'd like to upgrade you to the first class section, even business class, but we're going first class. What do you go? Yeah! I mean, it just comes out of you like, heck yeah, right? All right, there'd be a cheer, okay? Let's just say you have, all you can afford were nosebleed seats to your favorite athletic team, to the stadium, and man, it's like the big game, and all of a sudden someone just kind of said this, maybe it was a gentleman at the door, and they saw you, and you're bringing your son, and they're like, hey, you know what, why don't you guys sit with me in the box seats with the best view in the whole house? What are you going to do, guys? Come on, yeah, come on, there'll be some yes, all right? I was just thinking of things. Okay, if you're into the music scene and you got in, and how many people know concert tickets are ridiculous right now? Anybody been to a concert and you paid a lot of money? Oh my gosh. And all of a sudden you find out, you get in, and someone upgraded your tickets to the section right here in front of the, I've been to like a really cool concert where I literally, if I got aggressive enough, could touch the stage, but I might, you know, lose a tooth and an eye in the process. But then it came with a backstage pass. Yeah, see? Okay, we're getting there, right? All right. So, what time? Exactly, right? We're all going. So, I'm going to say this. There is nothing like a good upgrade in life, right? And, you know, especially when it's free, because I'm mentioning things that just like free, they just fell upon your lap. But how many people know that nothing in life is ever really free? That's like kind of a lesson you teach your kids, right? It costs someone something. It did. And when you stop to ponder the cost, maybe you get gracious, you get thoughtful, because how many people know, we have a culture of entitlement right now where they stop to thank you, and it is good to stop and remember. These upgrades of these gifts, because if you don't, sometimes you don't really access them, because how many people know this? If anybody's been giving you a ticket or something, just kind of sits on, I don't know, we have that little spot by the door. There's like an edge of a counter that just everything kind of sits and gets buried and kind of gets forgotten down there. But I'll tell you what, if you knew the person that gave you that upgrade and you knew how much they loved you and how much you loved them back, and you stopped to truly think about the great cost, you would probably use that upgrade, the access, more, right? You would use all those special features more. And we would probably give praise and celebrate a little bit more expressively, wouldn't we? All right. So when we stop to think about the precious blood of Jesus, the gift of his sacrifice, we're doing a series on blood covenant, right? And how this priceless gift of his blood was paid our sin debt, past, present, and future. Oh my gosh. Okay? And we got to stop and think about this. And we were then resurrected to a new life with him. and all of our old past mistakes, dead and gone, totally, not just covered. Old Testament, we're going to talk about covered the sins, but we knew it was still there, right? The Old Testament, the atonement meant we swept it under the rug, but we knew it was still there. But with Jesus, it was delete, 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 and then you deleted the trash can box. You can't even find it anymore. You had the computer tech come in. It was cold, totally, totally scrubbed, erased. I'm excited about that. Yes. Amen. All right. Yeah. And we got to think about the benefits. So Psalms 103, verse 2, it says, do not forget all of his benefits. He forgives us all our sins, even your 20s, guys, even the worst of it. I'm telling you, he forgave all of our sin. He heals all of our diseases. He renews our youth like the eagles. Man, these are the benefits of the Lord. We probably upgrade the passion of our praise. And listen, God created everybody a little different. So you may not be jumping up and down and doing backflips or whatever, but I'll tell you what, it's going to make us more engaged in our times of worship. It's going to make us more focused. It's going to make us more wholehearted. And what it's all about, the heart. The heart. All right, so we've done an in-depth study on the blood covenants from the Garden of Eden all the way up to present, all right? And the benefits were fantastic, especially the covenant of Abraham, which still applies today that we access by faith. All right, man, that's a good one. All right, but even when you study, you know, the covenant of Moses we talked about in the past, there's a lot of hoops to jump through, a lot of blood everywhere, just blood everywhere. But there were some powerful benefits to it, right? But when you stop to think about these things, the fact that we got a new and far better deal. Can I quote the Isley Brothers? It makes me want to shout. Come on, anybody been to a wedding? And I don't care how old you are. That song, that's right. Listen, Mike and I are like first on the dance floor, right? Okay, when they do the Isley Brothers, it's the one that gets the whole crowd out there. It just crossed all the generations. It makes me want to shout, kick my heels up and shout. Come on. Anyone? Come on now. All right. Gotta loosen you up. Listen, we're going to dig into some like really technical, fantastic scriptures. And if one thing you get out of this is the Isley Brother quote. And maybe my little dollhouse. You're going to walk away remembering, because all that the Lord did for us makes me want to shout, kick my heels up and shout, come on, throw my head back and shout, come on now. All right. I'm just saying, listen, God can speak through anyone. I love when they take one of those songs and just, you know, listen, whatever gets you to think about the Lord, okay? All right, so when you find out what God has set you free from, you get really excited of what he set you free to. All right, so open up your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 8, 6 through 7, the Amplified Classic, okay? It says, but as it is now, he, Christ, has acquired a priestly ministry, which is as much superior and more excellent than the old, as the covenant, the agreement, a covenant is an agreement, right? Signed in blood, of which he is the mediator. That's a legal term, right? Now, the English Standard Version says this, it's just better. The title of my message today is better. Better. Okay? It's better. Superior. More excellent, because it is enacted and rested upon better. Everybody say better. More important. Higher promises. Okay, that's the upgrade. It makes me wanna shout. Okay, here we go. Verse 7, English Standard Version. For if that first covenant had been faultless, there would have been no occasion to look for a second. In other words, if the Old Testament was so fantastic, why would God go through the incredible sacrifice of his son to give us something better? It makes me wanna shout. Okay, well, I'm gonna do it the whole time just to keep everybody awake. You know, if someone sleeps, we 5 years ago, it makes me wanna shout. Okay, so we're gonna examine the much better and compare it, okay? It's particularly today about the covenant of Moses. All right, and that was when there were all these hoops to jump through, all this work, all this blood. Woo! All right, to get into the presence of God. So, Exodus chapter 25, I'm going to reference it, we're not going to read it. In Exodus chapter 25, Moses, God's friend. Did you know when you just hang out with God to just hang out with God? He's my friend. My friends, I don't call up with an agenda. I call up because I just want to talk. I just want to connect. Moses was a friend of God. He walked with the Lord, and God said, hey, my friend, I want to give you revelation. And God does a divine download, okay? And he gives him a picture. So what he does is he lifts the supernatural veil into the spirit, and he sees the throne room in heaven. And God gives him, he downloads these dimensions for a tabernacle, which is another word for a temple. It's a traveling temple, a traveling tent. Today we are the traveling temple, the traveling tent that God lives in. But back then, we needed a symbol. We needed a representation. Okay, here's how we go here. So you had this heavenly vision. God gives them very specific dimensions. How many people have ever looked at blueprints? My father studied to be an architectural engineer, so I remember looking at blueprints. I don't know. I bring them to Lane now. Lane knows what the blueprints mean, okay? So God downloaded in Moses these blueprints, and Moses looked around. He grabbed a napkin. Oh, okay, let me write it down as fast as I can. I don't know what he wrote it on, but he's like, this is important, all right? And God gave him a model of the throne room, all right? And he said this, that all these things are significant. They significantly matter. They all have meaning, and they must be fulfilled properly. And if you're like my son, but why? But why? Okay? All right, we're going to talk about why. It's so God's son could later come and work and minister within the symbolic framework. All right? So God said, build it exactly as I tell you. It has to be so exact to show that Jesus is the supreme, the far better. He just blows it all out of the water, okay? And he's going to come later, and he sets him up. Anybody seen a really cool play in basketball where someone sets up the superstar? Listen, I watched a documentary on Michael Jordan, fascinating, okay? He was a team player, though. He was a team player, okay? But you know when someone set Michael Jordan up for the slam dunk and the crowd goes, wow, it makes me wanna shout. Okay, yes, thank you. All right, so what happens is God gives a divine download of the rules of basketball. Here, let me tell you the game here, all right? And it's a setup. So his son, the all-star superstar, listen, I was born 1981. Michael Jordan was it, okay? Listen, Jordans are still a very big deal, okay? All right, so the superstar, his son, let's just call him the Michael Jordan of his day, could what? Slam dunk and crush it, win the world championship, and the world goes wild. Makes me wanna shout. Okay. So Paul's point in Hebrew, which can be kind of a technical read, is that Moses' tabernacle, this traveling tent, which he got what the blueprints for, and he kind of wrote it down, and he said it's very specific. There's a certain, you know, everything's measured. And he gives him a download for the furniture that goes in it, because I found the stuff with the furniture. I had to go to like three different people, and I pieced together. Look at this, guys. I got more excited than my son. I have Bert and Ernie's beds, and I literally set it up exactly like I want to. And then I was like, yeah, you can play with it. Mommy's playing with it too. Okay, get all the furniture in here. Look, I got big Bert's thing. Okay, right? Very specific. When I'm not like mom, but like when literally he puts like Bert and Ernie's bed in the kitchen, I was like, oh, honey, that's so much fun to play. And I put it back where it needs to go. All right. We have a name for that. Okay, it's fine. All right. So God gave Moses the framework, the specifics, the blueprint, right? And in the best of times, Moses' tabernacle to the eyes of God was, now hear me, this is not sacrilege, but you need an example. In the best of times, the tabernacle was really just a proverbial dollhouse. It was, now people don't like that term, all you religious people, it was a model. It was a model of the throne room. And it was sacred, okay? But just so you can understand, okay? So maybe you don't connect with Sesame Street, but how many people remember the Ninja Turtle lair? Come on. I've been actually scouting it out because my son hasn't really connected with the turtles yet, but I'm going to get ready for it, all right? Or Batman's Batcave, okay? So maybe you're a guy and you're like, I don't do dolls, Sherry. It's okay, you do action figures. They're not dolls, not dolls, not dolls at all. No, not dolls at all, okay. Got to do some, you know, male analogies here. But, you know, now maybe you're of a generation where, maybe this is probably a little more on the girl side, but a dollhouse and someone that loved you built a dollhouse that looked like your house or grandma's house. Maybe you inherited it. Does anybody know those? That they're like in a replica of the house? That was a treasure that you passed on. This is the replica of grandma's house or great-grandma's house or your house, whatever it may be, okay? The dollhouse or the model gave the real thing significance, right? It was a bridge. It brought significance, okay? So the Old Testament tabernacle, that traveling tent model that was very specifically downloaded, that needed to be done things a very specific way, it was not the real thing, right? All right? But it gave some significance because Jesus, now we're going to go to Jesus. Jesus says this in Scripture, was the owner and the builder of the real thing house. And guess who's the real thing in the New Testament? Who's the house? Who's the temple of the Holy Spirit? Okay. So why that? We're going to talk about it. All right. Colossians 1, 15 through 19. It says, He, Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. That means he's my big brother. Makes me want to shout. Okay. What? I'm a co-heir with Christ Jesus? Makes me wanna shout, okay. For by him all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions, rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. All right? He is before all things. In him all things hold together. He holds me together. You have those days you're falling apart? I'm telling you, he is the super glue by the power of the Holy Spirit here on the earth, right? The Spirit of Christ Jesus. All right. He is the head of the body, the church. He's the head. Man, I want to follow him. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead. Firstborn. I'm following it. Makes me want to shout. Okay. That in everything he might be preeminent. That word's I don't really use that word. So if you look up another word for preeminent, it means to stand supreme, first place. I don't know about you, at the Olympics or at the champion game, I don't always remember third place. But man, I remember the champion, the world champion first place, Jesus Christ. And for that reason, he needs to stay first place and supreme in our lives, right? So here's the point of this sermon. God always had the actual house. This is just the model. He always had the actual house, put your hand on your heart, as a symbol. He always had the actual house in mind, right? Okay? He always had the actual house. He always had the new and better covenant constantly in mind. Because remember, Adam and Eve messed it up. Now we got to get it all right back to the garden. All right, so Hebrews 1 through 4, this is written to the Jewish Christians, the religious folks of the day. And how many people know us religious folks? We like our suits and our ties and our 20-pound Bibles and our rituals because we have them at church. We do. Stand up, sit down, pray. We do. We have it in our church. Come on, we got to flow. All right? So don't be like trying to throw a stone at the church down the way because theirs is, oh, they're so religious. They do this. We got it too, y'all. All right? He's writing to the religious folks of the day and trying to bring it all back to first place, first person, supremacy of Jesus. And he's like, hey, all these things are symbols that give the real thing significance. It keeps us kind of from losing our way, right? They're powerful. How many people know? Communion, anointing oil, these are powerful symbols. They keep us connected to him and each other. Worship, corporate worship keeps us connected to him, to each other, right? It's powerful, okay? As long as we remember it's all about him and not us and our rituals. Because, oh, wait, they didn't do my ritual this year. They didn't have my event. That's my event. That's my favorite event. They didn't do it. I'm leaving. Might just be a ritual. Okay, here we go. Hebrews 1, 1 through 4. The book of Hebrews was written to these Jewish Christians that didn't understand, what do you do now? Jesus came, and now we don't have to do all the bloody sacrifices, but I kind of want to because it's all I've ever known. Tradition. Kind of kept their culture alive, right? So what do I do now? So he had to rebuild the model and connect it all to Jesus. And then they go, oh, it makes me wanna shout. Here we go. We'll talk about the Temple of David maybe next week or the week after. We'll see. All right. The tabernacle, sorry. All right. That's where modern day worship comes from. Hebrews 1, 1 through 4. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, a long, long time ago, okay? God spoke to our fathers through the prophets, by the prophets, and in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. Wow, it goes directly to him. And he appointed him the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. If you can't understand God in the Old Testament, look at Jesus. It brings clarity to it all. All right? The exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the power of his word after making purification for sins, my sins, your sins, past, present, future. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high in the real throne room, having become much superior. Drop the mic. It is finished. All right. So Moses in his tabernacle tent, this model, right? Helped us to understand, ready for this, and we're going to dig into it, the value and the function of the priesthood, the high priest, Jesus Christ. All right? And Jesus Christ is the founder of the house, okay? He is better than the tabernacle. He's better than the model. The mini model is kind of like a dollhouse. Okay, ready for this? Hebrews 3, I'm going to skip ahead, go back and read it. I'm going to talk about verse 1, 3, and 6. Consider Jesus the apostle and high priest, whom we have confessed as ours when we embrace the Christian faith. By the way, I'm only skipping because I'll be real. If I did the whole thing, it'd be 3 weeks, and not everybody is able to come 3 weeks in a row. So go back and study it, okay? I'm doing this so we can get it all in here. All right? Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we have confessed as ours when we embrace the Christian faith. Verse 3, yet Jesus has been considered worthy of much greater honor and glory than Moses, just as the builder of the house has more honor than the house itself. New Living Version. But Christ, as the Son, is in charge of God's entire house. We are God's house. Okay. Yeah, this is getting good. Hebrews 8, 8 through 13. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, okay? So God is going through scriptures here, and he's like, I've already predicted this in the Old Testament. I already told you it's coming. I already told you Michael Jackson was coming. Jackson, well, he's cool too. Okay, Michael Jordan was coming. I downloaded the game, okay? Come on, I'm a kid of the 80s. You remember the, come on. The red leather jacket, I cannot even try. I will embarrass myself. Okay. It's 80s flashback day. We're running with it, okay? All right. You gotta have fun in church, y'all. All right. Hebrews 8, 8 through 13. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel, right? He already predicted in the Old Testament it was going to get so much better. And he is what? Weaving the scarlet cord, tying in the Garden of Eden all throughout the Old Testament, tying it all together, the blood of Jesus. We just didn't kind of see it, but now we're putting all the pieces together, okay? So just briefly for the sake of time, Moses, the covenant of Moses was the probation because they were messing it all up and he just wanted to keep them together, keep them safe because they were just, you know, running amok and didn't want to hang out with God, right? So he gave them a covenant to run parallel with Abraham. The covenant of Moses was just for the Israelites, the Jewish nation until Jesus came, okay? So don't get lost in the weeds, all right? It just pointed to how much they needed Jesus because what the Jews of that day, their sin of pride and self-reliance, they liked showing off at all the weights they could lift. You guys remember this one? Just pumping iron, a bunch of meatheads in the room. Watch me pump all this iron. Watch me lift up. Put another weight on. Ah, put some more weight on. Watch me, watch me, watch me. The Jews liked the show of look how good I am at being good. Okay? And God's like, go knock yourself out. Okay, you want some rules? Here you go. You know, 10. We started with 10. And then you like it? Okay, you want to put some more weight on? More weight? Then they started just piling it on. Like ridiculous legalism. Because he was like, okay, when you're done and ready, all I want you to do is say, help. I need God. Oh, I need Jesus. Forget this. Okay. Covenant of Moses. Go back and listen to some past messages. Hebrews 8, 8 through 13. For this covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my laws on their mind. Touch your head. Holy Spirit's going to just speak to you, directly to you. Ready? And then put your hand on your heart and write them on their heart. I will be there. God, you know, your heart's just a symbol. It really is just an organ. You know, it's not shaped like this. It's just a symbol, right? Okay. I will be their God, and they will be my people. And they shall not teach each one his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest. He is speaking of just getting rid of the elitism club, that the only person that could go into the temple, the only person that could worship God in the temple, the only person that could teach the scriptures were the elite group of the tribe of Levi. I am not about the elitist thing. Like, you know, you ever been around the us and thems in high school? I remember them. The cool girls wore the white shirt and khaki day. They all looked like a Gap commercial, and they didn't tell anyone, so you could see who the cool girls were. Still hate matching. That's why I hate matching. Okay, it's traumatic. Here we go. I hate elitism, right? All right, so back then, the tribe of Levi, you had to be perfect. Did you know even if you had a cool birthmark? Oh, nope, you're not good enough. If you had a nasty scar, oh, nope, you're not good enough. How do people know? We kind of wrestle with Satan telling us every day we're not good enough. And Jesus died, so you could just tell that voice to shut up and get out of your head in the name of Jesus, because he came so what? All could know me. All could enter in. He could speak to all of us directly. And listen, pastors and priests, they're awesome. They're to feed, guide, and protect. But guess what? You can go straight past them right into the throne room. You don't have to wait to talk to Pastor Sherry on Sunday. Okay? You can go, please do. Talk to him immediately. He is waiting for you. All right. Verse 12 makes me wanna shout. Okay. For I will be merciful towards their iniquities. I will remember their sins no more. Makes me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, throw my head back and shout, come on now. He doesn't remember your sins anymore. So stop remembering your sins. Stop talking about them. Did you talk to him about them? They're gone. You got it? All right. Stop beating yourself up. Satan does a good enough job. Stop beating yourself up. You're helping the wrong team. All right, here we go. Where I'm at, I just want to sing. I'm sorry, I just got a revelation of this. All right. Verse 13, in speaking of a new covenant, he makes the first one obsolete. And what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. He's talking about the covenant of Moses, right? Because it was just the holding tank, right? It was to keep them from going out in the world with all the weird idols, doing all those weird sexual practices, losing who Christ Jesus was. We're going to get rid of all this, all the rituals and all the rules. How many people, okay. And why? All right, now he is talking. Guys, this is nothing new. He's weaving it through his prophets. A long, long time ago in a faraway place, he was talking to his prophets. He's saying, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. I got all these cool treasures. Remember we talked of an Easter, the stamps of the Lord, the seals. So when Jesus comes, you smack yourself in the head. It's here. You've been talking about it all along. In Jeremiah 31 through 34, we won't read it. But he's giving them, hey, something's coming. Something far better is coming. He starts talking about this new covenant that's going to be coming. So watch for it. And what the people that were watching for the Messiah in the spirit found him. The people that were looking for it, looking for a God in their own image, looking for God to do what I want to do, the way I want it done, looking for just to kick Rome out. They missed it. They missed it. All right. Here's the key. The dollhouse, the model, it is finished. It's done. Jesus fulfilled it all. Aren't you so glad when you mess up, you don't got to get a cow? How much is a whole cow going to cost you these days? Oh, my gosh. And I didn't even get to eat all of it. Okay, like, I just filled my freezer. Buy your cow and eat it. And you can eat. You can eat bacon. Praise. Makes me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout. Okay. We eat bacon almost every day this week. I don't know. Like, I just keep like a 3-pack in the freezer, okay? Thank God. Okay. He got rid of the dollhouse, right? And we moved on, and his people in faith, right? We are his people in faith in Jesus. And now what? He's moved into us through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, bring total forgiveness, total healing, right? And no longer is the priesthood dependent on the elitist club lineage of being perfect, and you got to be born into it. Aren't you so glad that system's gone? All right, so we're going to talk about the tabernacle. You can open up to Hebrews chapter 9, 1 through 10. This was the setup. This is now, we set up Michael Jordan, okay? And it, with this model, with the game rules, okay? And it's all set up for him, for Jesus to come, slam dunk, crush it, okay? So Hebrews 9, 1 through 3, we're going to go slow, break it down. Now, even the first covenant had regulations for everything, for worship, all right? An earthly place of holiness. So it's still holy, right? But it was a model, okay? For the tent was prepared. Okay, so I have a picture, and listen, I'll be honest with you, I'm not very technologically inclined, so I didn't send the proper video link. So that's okay. Look it up later if you want to see for a really cool picture of the tabernacle, all right? So what happened is this. There was an outer court. How many people know? How many people got a yard where they got a fenced-in yard, right? And some people have multiple entrances. But in this tower, oh, thank you, my friend Lane. Thank you for your amazing team. I appreciate the tech team, okay? They had one entrance, the door, in the very beginning, right? And how many people know that immediately points to Jesus? Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the light. I am the door. No one can enter into the Father except through me. So even from the very beginning, this outer courtyard, there was one way in, okay? And this courtyard surrounded the tabernacle tent, the tent of meeting, where God wanted to meet with his temple. But we talked about this with David. God wanted to be traveling with his people. He didn't want to be out of sight, out of mind. He wanted to go where you're going, because how many people know this? Wherever the people of God were, God wanted to be with them, okay? So how many people know that we are now the traveling temple of Jesus, and he's with us wherever we go? Okay, everything's pointing. There's so much. There's Old Testament significance, and then there's new, and I'm just going to bridge it all by the power of Jesus Christ. Here we go. All right. So Jesus, we are the temple of God. That's 1 Corinthians 3:16. All right? And then a temple, or the tabernacle, is where what? Heaven meets earth, right? The God of heaven meets with us. All right? And all the furnishings, remember, very specific. I like it a very specific way. Big Bird. Let's see. I don't know. I put him here. Okay. I like all my furniture a certain way. God said there's a very specific way, because it's all going to point to Jesus. But you just don't know it's him yet. Okay. So around the tabernacle, you pass through the outer courtyard. This is where the animal sacrifices were made. We've talked about this in the past. The very thing, the first thing that happened is you'd bring what? The sacrifice for your sins. Okay, and there were tables there that they were butchered, and the meat was burnt, right? Okay, it was bloody, it was gory, it was memorable. And then there was a basin to wash in. And listen, I don't have time to go into all this in detail, but it's really cool to dig into, because we know this. 1 John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all our sins. What? And see, John 10:9. Okay, that's the one where it says he is the only way, the only door. And he saves us through his sacrifices, John 1:28. Okay, so we go in through Jesus. There is the sacrifice, the blood that's going on. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all our sins, right? And there's a washing. And there are lots of rituals and sacrificial washings, okay? Very specific. And the tent was a very specific size, 45 feet by 15 feet by 15 feet. The first part of it was the largest, okay? That was the largest two-thirds of the tent, okay? There was a lot of vessels and furnishings in there when we went into the tent, right? So sacrifices were made, blood. There was the burning of the sacrifice. There was the washing of in this bronze basin, okay? And we're washed up. And now the only people that can go in now, it's only the elitists. They can go into just the first part, okay? The first part, and then we're going to read about it here. Okay, Hebrews 9, 2 through 10. For a tent was prepared, the first section, the larger place, in which there was a lampstand and a table, for the bread of the presence is called the holy place. So the first part inside the tent was the holy place. And the part after that was the most holy, where it's all going to tie to Jesus. Okay, there's a golden lampstand, the menorah. You guys know that with Jewish culture? It has seven different branches. It actually looks supposed to look like the tree in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life, the tree of light, okay? And it was oil-fed into these seven places. It was the only form of light in this tabernacle tent. How many people know this? John 8, 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Okay? To the left of the entrance into the tent, we finally got into the tent. If you're the tribe of Levi, there's the light, okay? And then there's a table, right? And this had the showbread, right? 12 loaves of bread represented the 12 tribes of Israel, okay? And the light would shine on the bread, the tribes of Israel, God's face symbolically shining on his people, okay? This symbolized the fellowship and communion God had with Israel. But whoa, Jesus came, and all of a sudden, anyone, Jewish or not, that put their faith in Jesus, what could have fellowship and communion? Jesus said this in John 6, 35. Jesus is the bread of life, and he's the one that satisfies us. Guys, listen, I like vacation. I like pizza. We had pizza last night. I like Peridel ice cream. Okay, none of this will really satisfy me. I love adventure. I love holding hands with that guy. But my satisfaction, what fills me, is him. And if you are looking to people, it will destroy your marriage. Too much pressure. If you're looking to things, it can sometimes tank your life into escapism and even addiction. But these are cool stuff. What? But he's the bread of life. He satisfies us. Okay. Then we move. There's a smaller section of the Holy of Holies, about a third of it, and is separated by a very thick veil, a curtain about 4 inches thick. And it took about 100 priests to move this thing. Okay? So this is a big process moving this tent around. Okay? It was 4 inches thick, 60 feet high, 30 feet wide. It was the color purple, blue, purple, and scarlet. And there was some symbolism there. Blue meaning eternal, heavenly. Purple meaning royal. Scarlet meaning the blood. Now, this is all open to interpretation, okay? All right. And they could only go into the Holy of Holies. We found this out in a previous one. Only one day a year, and only the most mature guy that had his stuff together that wasn't going to mess it up. How many people know you're gonna put Grandpa up there? Because Grandpa has learned a thing or two in his time. That gray hair says he doesn't do dumb stuff no more. So we're going to put the high priest that's not going to do anything dumb. Remember the sons that swing around, the goofing around? Okay, so now it's only once a year the high priest goes in. And this was not fun for fellowship. This is like shaking in your boots. This is like a survival mission. You are just trying not to die. Okay, he goes in, and we talked about this a little bit in the past. On the Day of Atonement, atonement means to cover. Once a year, we talked about this in detail in the past, Israel would have their sins as a nation covered, but it was still there underneath, right? Where their sins got swept under the carpet, but we all knew it was there. That's atonement in the Old Testament, means to cover, okay? And when Jesus died on the cross and rose again for our sins, here's what happened to that veil, that separation from the presence of God. It tore, not from bottom to top, because only a human would do that. It tore from top to bottom, an impossible. Come on, we've ever seen bodybuilders where they're trying to tear a phone book? Do anybody remember a phone book? Anyone remember? Yeah, shout out to the 80s and even the 90s. Okay, they'd tear it, right? Okay, this was impossible to tear. And if I talked about how crazy, thick, and strong that thing was, and Jesus, the day he died, it was symbolic of, guess what? You don't need the dollhouse anymore. You're my house now. Signed, sealed, delivered. I'm yours. It is finished. Hebrews 9, verse 6. These preparations having thus been made, the priests go regularly into what? Just the first section, performing their ritual duties, okay? But into the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God was in model, came, okay? The second, the only the high priest goes, but he came once a year. This is talking about the Day of Atonement, the Day of Covering. Not without taking blood. He had a basin of blood of the sacrifice. And I think he's going in there shaking, okay? which he offered for himself and ultimately, intentionally later for the sins of the people. Now, before he went in, right before the Holy of Holies veil, there was the golden censer altar of fragrance, okay? And we talked about this in the past, incense rising in many cultures across the world. But it started with the Jews, right? Where the symbolic of the prayers rising up, a sweet fragrance to the Lord. And the priests would minister, they'd perform these sacrifices and they would pray on behalf of the people with incense, right? So the most holy place where the presence of God was, only the high priest could go with the bowl, the basin of blood, right? And he would take a little of the blood and put it on the four corners of the golden incense stand, okay? And this we know is representing what the blood of Jesus to come. Because it says this, that Jesus is now our intercessor. What? He intercedes for us. He's our go-between in prayer. And it goes into this in 1 John 2:1, Romans 8:34, and Hebrews 7:25. He intercedes for us on our behalf. Now we go behind the curtain. Hebrews 9:3 through 7. Behind the second curtain was a second section called the Most Holy Place, having the golden altar of incense. So they brought the incense in, right? And smoke is filling up the room. And the dark of the covenant covered, and the ark of the covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which a golden urn holding the manna, remember the manna? God's way of providing for the people. And then Aaron's staff, which budded, okay? And then the tablets of the Ten Commandments in the covenant, they were all housed in the ark, the box of the covenant. Above it were the cherubim, and they were not the little, like, you know, the Valentine's little babies. I mean, they were fierce, okay? The cherubim of glory overshadowing the lid was called the mercy seat. All right. Now, the most holy ark of the covenant, this box would have mercy seat on it, was an ornate lid on top, okay? And it had, and by the way, it was round about like 4 feet long by 2 feet by 2 feet. This was not just a huge thing, okay? All right? And it had rings and poles to be carried, like a king. Remember kings in ancient cultures? They would be carried, okay? And on the top of it were these two golden cherubim, which were guarding. It was just a model. Where's my Bert and Ernie? Okay. It wasn't the real thing. It was a picture in heaven because there are cherubim in heaven. Ezekiel the prophet saw it. There were fierce cherubim in heaven guarding the throne of God. Okay? And on the Day of Atonement, we went through this in the past, the high priest applied the blood of the sacrifice to the mercy seat. And why this was so significant, it says this in Leviticus 16, which we studied. God literally appeared in a cloud above the mercy seat. The presence of God, the glory of God shined. Okay? And God looked down and saw what represented the sins of humanity inside the box. What? Okay, inside the box was the provision of manna, which all Israel did was grumble and complain about sin. The stone tablets of the law, which all Israel did was break them and then create a golden calf and do creepy stuff going on. It's a remembrance, right? Okay, inside the other box, what was the budding staff of Aaron? Who was responsible for that rebellion? These were symbols of the sins of the people. And God looked down into the box, but guess what he saw now? The blood that covered. Whew. And the room that filled with incense, I talked about in the past, right? It was a smoke screen. It was a shield, right? To the presence and the glory of God, okay? Because you couldn't stand. It was like, you know, firemen have to have that shield and protective clothing because in the presence of God, sin would incinerate. All right. All right. I'm going to skip some things, but they're very important. Thank you, Lord. Help me with my time here. All this is foreshadowing the sacrificial Lamb of God coming, right? Hebrews 9, 8 through 10. By this, the Holy Spirit indicates that the same way into the holy place is not yet opened as long as the first section is still standing. As long as we have the old covenant still standing, the new better can't come. And it says this, okay? I think this is the English Standard Translation. Yes. The first section is still standing, which is symbolic. Symbolic. Everybody say this, symbolic. For the present age. According to this arrangement of gifts and sacrifices are offered that cannot perfect the consciences of the worshiper. Worshiper. How do people know this? Old Testament, I knew exactly what was under my rug. I knew what was getting covered up. It was still there. My conscience. How many people know we carry things on our conscience that can haunt us, that can destroy us, our sense of self-worth, our sense of dignity, our sense of value? And you know, people even think of taking their own life because of something that Jesus already took away. Because guess what? Then it was still there, but it was covered. But with Jesus, it got deleted, completely taken away. He healed the conscience problem. The weight, the guilt, the shame. He took it all away completely. Okay? It could perfect our conscience. Verse 10, but deal only with food and drink and various washings and regulations for the body imposed upon the time of reformation. Okay, thank you, Lord. Help me slow down. So he keeps going back and forth. The new and the old. I want to go to the better. How many of you want to go to the better? I want to go to the better. Okay. So right now he's saying the gates of heaven were not open for fellowship to all people yet under the old covenant, but God wanted us to walk closely with him like the Garden of Eden. He just wants to hang out. But our sins and our guilty conscience was always getting in the way, right? We don't feel worthy, but Jesus took it all away. You are worthy because he's worthy. Okay. They needed upgraded. Okay, upgraded to a far better deal. Verse 9, the word symbolic comes from an ancient Greek word meaning parable. Everybody say symbolic. Everybody say parable. Okay, the tabernacle was a parable. It was a model. It was a story meant to point to Jesus. So he got all the glory, and they're holding on to the model. All right? God wants to take them right past all the rituals. How many people know it took a long time? It was really expensive to do all the blood and the washing and this and that and the incense, the rituals, the tradition. Did you know? Listen, church is awesome. But do you know you don't have to wait for all of this? You can go run boldly to the throne of grace to find help at time of need right now, anywhere you're at, at work, on the drive, in traffic. We need Jesus. Okay. Speaking of traffic, how about this for an analogy? The Old Testament was like Route 30 under construction combined with 83 under construction. Hello, there is a mood swing and a half right there. I need Jesus. Okay. So this is the Old Testament. It's filled with delays and obstacles and one lane. And why are you doing this? And like, what? The rush hour. What are you thinking? Come on. Frustrating. This is the Old Testament, and all you want to do is get to the concert, the epic concert, the big game, I don't know, 4th of July, fireworks in Baltimore, wherever you're going, and we got to go through all these obstacles. And at this point, you're like, you know what, just send someone else. Here's my ticket. I don't even have time for this. How many people go, that's why we got Amazon. It's fine. Anything I need is on Netflix and Amazon. I'm just kidding. All right. Thank you, Lord. And these obstacles were to get into the presence of God. In the Old Testament, the covenant of Moses, right? The Day of Atonement, the covering of the sin. Their best option was just to send one guy shaken in there, the high priest, on his survival mission, all right? And did you know this? It was so scary that he might die. They put bells on the bottom of his hem. So when he'd walk around, cha-ching, cha-ching, ching, 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 ding, 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 he's moving, okay? And if all of a sudden it just stopped, did you know he had a rope tied around his ankle so they could pull his dead body out? I mean, it was that scary. But did you know the presence of God was not to scare you? It was to have fellowship with him, to hang out. We got to get rid of the model. We got to get rid of the dollhouse, right? So Jesus comes in. He paves the way. Hello, Route 30 and 83. Paves the way. fixes the road. Now we can all get in. Makes me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, come on now. Okay, whoa. All right, this is great, this is great. The exclusion is gone. The elitism is gone. The traffic's gone. All the obstacles are gone. The dollhouse. He got rid of the dollhouse. Hebrews 4:16. So why don't we approach God with joy, confidence, wholehearted? This is what he did for us, man. Hebrews 4:16. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace, divine empowerment, right, to help in time of need. All the furniture, you know, all the furniture, all the symbols, all the things they had to do, you don't have to do that anymore, and you couldn't even get in. You had to stand outside the club. Nothing fun has happened outside the club. We all got a, what? All access pass. VIP pass. Everyone got one. We can all go in. So why are you beating yourself up in shame and unworthiness, fixating on all your sins? Because Jesus, delete, delete, delete. Got rid of the sweep, got rid of the rug. I am set free. He got rid of all the obstacles. Route 30 and 83 are clear. Straight to the presence of God. I can run boldly. It makes me wanna shout, kick my heels up and shout, come on now. I'm telling you, it changes how we worship, and you may not be a jump up and down and shout person, but I'll tell you, I'm going to get focused, and I'm going to get gracious, and I'm going to get wholehearted when I realize not to take all this for granted. Just, you know, we take the grace of God for granted all the time because we forget the sacrifice that he made for that all-access pass. Hebrews 9:11-14. And when Christ appeared as the high priest of all good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, us, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once and for all into the holy places, not by means of blood and goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing eternal redemption. Verse 13, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the sprinkling of defiled persons with ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of flesh, 14, how much more will the blood of Christ through the eternal spirit offer himself without blemish to God? Guys, stand up. This is called the sweet spot. I've learned to stop in the sweet spot, okay? How much more will it purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God? If you are so conscious of your sins, we are living in the old covenant. Oh, here we go. It makes me wanna shout. Guys, I don't need to think about my past. I don't care if it was 10 minutes ago. Give it to Jesus. Delete, delete, delete. Did you know most people struggle connecting in worship and their time in the Word and in fellowship? They won't go to a grow group or a Bible study because of a sense of unworthiness, a sense of shame. They feel like, I don't belong here. I'm not good enough. Let me go clean up my life first. And he said, but I already did it. I cleared the whole thing and I made it easy. Whoa. I didn't just make a way where we could all be priests. He already said this. I will make you a nation, a kingdom of kingly priests. So run boldly to the throne of grace and stop bringing up your past because he ain't even remembering it. He solved the conscience problem, man. It's so good. It's so good. I know. I think we should just worship. I would say this. Listen, we're going to... Tell you what, close your eyes. I'm not going to play the Isley Brothers, don't worry. Close your eyes. And I'm going to say this, worship him with your whole heart. And listen, you don't need words on a screen. Because listen, we don't always have that when we're out mowing the lawn, thinking about our boss. We go, whoa, okay? Lord God, I thank you for giving me. You have set me free from the power of sin and death. You paved the way. Ruth 30 and 83 are clear, straight to the presence of God. I can come boldly with a clean conscience. It's already done. It's already done. And I want to say this, here's your challenge. If you are going to church out of religious ritual and tradition to make your parents happy, make your spouse happy, make your ministry department director happy, if we go through the ritual, stand up, sit down, pray this, but our hearts aren't in it, we're just kind of doing it because it's the right thing to do, we are also forgetting what it's all about and the cost, the precious cost that he paid. So we can what? Run boldly to the throne of grace to find help in time. So we can worship him. Washed in the blood of Jesus. Pure, qualified, worthy, and wanted. So I'll just say this in your own words. This is worship. Just start thanking him. We enter into your courts with thanksgiving and praise. Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for resurrecting my life. Lord, I took the sin bait. I stepped into the snare, Lord, but you rescued me. You saved me. You set me free in a wide open space. And I don't have to be like everyone else. I can be who you created me to be. You got rid of the mold. Lord, it all points to you and in you and through you, I have my being. You can just be. And let him fill you by the Spirit of Christ Jesus. I challenge you, if you'd like to, just lift your hands. You don't have to, but if you'd like to. But right now, God's looking at your heart. It's just a symbol, right, of receiving, of worship. You can repeat after me, Jesus, I'm all yours. Thank you for the finished work at the cross. Thank you for giving me a whole new life. Resurrected with you. Holy Spirit, fill me up. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We thank you. Ooh, let us not forget the preciousness of your blood, of your sacrifice. And even more so, let's not just stop at the cross. Let us not forget all the benefits, the blood-bought ones. We enter boldly without any sense of shame or guilt with a clear conscience. We receive all healing, restoration, body, mind, spirit, relationships. It's all about you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. Yeah. Hey. He makes me want to shout, man. All right. I love you guys. Listen, connect. Part of, I'm telling you, our worship is giving him our best and connecting with the body of Christ and making our conversations about him. I challenge you to do lunch with someone. If you'd like prayer for any reason, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, have the gift of tongues, whatever, I'd love to pray with you. And if I could have a couple ministry directors stand with me to pray. Thank you. Or grow group leaders, past or present. Amen.